feast from the Father's supply. O Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from your table.
Pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for bringing us together this morning, Lord, for waking us up in our right minds, Lord, not in just a sane mind, but Lord, in an elevated mind, in a revelated mind, Lord, having the mind of Christ in us today, Lord, knowing that sin and death has no hold on us anymore, Lord, and that we're more than conquerors this morning, Lord. We come before you, lifting up our brother Joseph Kuroki and his family this morning, Lord. We know the loss there is hard, Lord, and no doubt. We just ask that you be with the family there. May you give them comfort and fill that void that is left. From a naturally speaking, Lord, we know that a Christian doesn't die, just changes the vessel, Lord, changes the mask, Lord, even as you did, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you be with them. Continue to be with Brother Goombas. He's on the mission field. Continue to give him words and to speak, Lord, as you may bring many souls to your kingdom, Lord. Be with Brother Don as he's away, Lord. May you bless him, keep him, Lord. And the different ones that are around the world, Lord, we might not know every name or think of even the ones that we do know, Lord, but we know that you know all things and that you have everything in your hand and under your control, Lord. And we've seen the end from the beginning, Lord. And so we leave it right there in your grace and mercy. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I have a few things I want to mention this morning. I'm not sure if everybody knows, but Brother Joseph Kuroki he didn't die. He went to be with the Lord. he's not dead. Or I know still yet it's hard to lose a loved one here in the flesh here, and so we know that God has everything in his hands. And so we just ask that you remember the family there. I think it was either Thursday night, late Thursday night, or early or Friday morning somewhere. I might not have the dates right, but he moved from this fleshly tabernacle to the other side. And so just remember each one. Also, today is Sister Evelyn's birthday.
Amen.
So we wish her a happy birthday. And really appreciate the sister. And she's, you know, it takes a village. And she was part of the village that at least raised me. So it was everybody here, Sister Evelyn, Sister Juanita, Sister Rhonda, Sister Edith, everybody was, I can remember, giving all of y'all a hard time at one time or another. And so, but we appreciate Sister Evelyn, and so we wish her a happy birthday. And also, we want to let you know we've moved the water station. We had it out here with everybody, but with it going back and forth, and you know, someone maybe needing water, maybe in the middle of service, moving around kind of makes some noise maybe, but we've moved it back right here into the bedroom right there on the dresser. The water station there, the napkins, everything that was out here is just right there. Just step into the door and come to the thing. Come in. So we just want to let you know that. Also, up at the rehab center where Brother Richard is staying, there's a COVID case. So just want to let everybody know. I know people try to go see him. Might want to hang back a little bit till we get things figured out. Sister Edith is working really hard to get him home. He's up and moving. He's using the walker a lot more. So hopefully he can get home relatively quickly, and that we won't have to worry about that situation over there. So we just wanted to make everybody aware. I'm not saying you can't go, just be aware of the situation. You know, he really enjoys the visits. He just lights up anytime anybody comes and sees him. So, but just want to make everybody aware. And that's all on my list. If I forget something, the wife will let me know. I'm going to give this to you. I'm on call. Sorry about that, but if someone calls, just tell them to give you a minute till they get me. So I don't want to be bothered by that. So we greet everyone in the name of the Lord. It's good to see everyone. And so we know it's winter time, or it's supposed to be winter time. And I know it's cold this morning, but it's supposed to get up to like 57 degrees today. So Brother Don sent me some pictures this morning, and there's like, looks like 2 feet of snow. I don't know how much is actually there, but there's a pile of snow where he's at, and it's cold. And so there's winter somewhere when it's supposed to be winter. And so we're thankful for that. You forgive me. I'm really, really nervous. Really appreciate Brother Bosworth coming in this morning and taking a song service. It's really appreciate that. took a lot off of me, and so we're still staying with our subject line that we had Wednesday night. All that the Father has given me. I know it kind of might not follow that maybe that thought really, but if you look at it from the Revelation side, it all goes together. And so you just bear with me, and we'll just get started here. And we greet those that are online. I know we had a couple this morning when I first logged in, so we greet you in the name of the Lord, and trust that something will be said. All right, we're going to start off in the unveiling of God, paragraph 280. You are written epistles read of all men. Or you are, I'll translate, turn that around. To see, just turn it around, ye are epistles that I've been written, because you can't add nothing to it, that is read of all men, manifested word of God. And so I wanted to read that scripture this morning. I didn't have it planned, and while I was sitting back there, it just hit me to read it, and so I'm going to read the first five verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Do we begin again and commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of condemnation to you, or letters of condemnation from you? Ye are epistles written in the hearts known and read of all men, for as much as manifestly declared to be the epistles, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be epistles of Christ, ministered unto us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but of fleshly tables of the heart. So we're not looking. They had the scrolls. They had the Ten Commandments. They had literal physical articles that God used and spoke to them. But he wasn't using that anymore. There was a dispensation change from the law to the grace. And now they became manifestations within the flesh of the grace and saving power of the Lord Jesus in that day. Not of tables of stone, but of fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not, and this is what really really stood out to me, because and a lot of times we deal with the flesh, and it's very easy for the flesh to get a little uppity, I guess we want to say, or begin to think that it's something. But just realize it's just the vessel. He's interested in that vessel for one purpose and for one purpose only, and it's to manifest Him. It's to bring that seed that He planted in there before the foundation of the world to manifestation in the day that it was supposed to be manifested in. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. The only way we can brag, the only way we can boast is that God did this for me. God's doing this in me. God's doing it. That's the only boast that we have. Michael Paul can't make this message manifested. Michael Paul can't give a revelation of what this word is manifesting. It's got to be God living in Michael Paul. It's got to be God living in you. It's got to be God living in that veil of flesh. And it made me think of another scripture. Now that I'm thinking about it, you bear with me. It made me think of Romans 8:35. And think about this. You are epistles written. Written is a past tense statement, right? Am I right on written? It has happened. It has been stated. It has been documented, however you want to look at it. It has been. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? For as it is written, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loveth. So the conquering power, the conquering manifestation, is through him. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So it's written, it's happened. In the mind of God, He's already seen it. It's a finished work in the mind of God. What He's doing is manifest in what He's seen before the foundation of the world. That's read of all of it. That back in the quotes now, sorry. Because you can add nothing to it. That's read of all men. Manifested word of God, in other words. And Peter and John, to show it, they went up there. They perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned, had no education. But they had noticed that they had been with Jesus. So they didn't recognize the Christian life, the Christian testimony, the testimony of Jesus Christ through intelligence, through an education, through popularity. They noticed it in the power of manifestation. But they had taken notice that they had been with Jesus. They were ignorant and learned, but they were written epistles, see, read that they had been, see, I'll read that again. They were ignorant and unlearned. But they were written epistles, see, read that they had been with Jesus. Because Jesus was manifesting himself through them. Christ revealed in their flesh, manifested, made alive. Like he was in Moses, when the word was in Moses, he was God in flesh. There was such an anointing on Moses that he had to wear a veil. When he began to speak, there was such an anointing, such that they couldn't look at him, so he had to veil himself. And when he administered, then he could take the veil off, and then he could come among them and be with them. When it was with Jesus, it was God in flesh. The only thing he'd done was change his mask, not his word. He didn't change his word. He never changes his word. He just changes his mask, not his word. Not his nature. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He only changes his form. He changed from Noah to Moses. He changed from Moses to David, from David to Joseph, and on down until the fullness of the God, until he came into the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's still the same God. So we can see him morphing himself down through the different veils, through the different prophets, through the different children, all the way down. But it's still the same God today. So what is he saying? You're the veil. Not that we brag that this flesh can do anything, But that he's seen us before the foundation of the world, and we become that veil, we become that vessel, we become the manifestation of this revelation in this day. It's still the same God, amen. I hope that gets through. He's trying to stress a point here. See, it's the same God. He just takes another veil, see? He puts on another veil. Like it did in the Reformer. Taking on a veil. Taking on a veil until finally it came down through the Lutheran age, through the other ages, when it finally come out into the complete. Just before it comes, a prophet arises again. What it does, it foreshadows the Word, showing back here, revealing what's been done, what's been left off, that the church is not without understanding. Then this fades out. Then, like John said, I must decrease and he must decrease. He's pointing out the veil that's standing in front of them right then, at that time when he's ministering. He's identifying that the seventh angel is going off the scene and that God's coming down and he's unveiling himself again in the exact same veil that he used. He didn't need to pick another veil. Redemption was complete. Sin question was answered. Sin was removed. So he didn't need to go pick something else. He could then come tabernacle himself right in the same vessel. He didn't need to raise up like he did with Jesus. Jesus was the sacrifice. He was the Redeemer. His flesh had to be in a specific order, brought on a specific way for a specific purpose. But in this day, he could take this veil of flesh, remove the condemnation of sin, remove the soul that sinneth, and just like that cup of water, he could pour himself into this veil of flesh and he could manifest himself. And that cup of water can be a testimony to all the other cups in the cupboard that, hey, we're in use. We're tabernacles. What are you going to be tabernacled with? Exactly what you're chosen to be. You can't be, if I'm a, I can't take, that cup can't tell me what it wants to be. That cup is going to be what I decided what it's going to be. That cup's going to house what I decide it's going to house. If it's water, if it's poison, whatever. And it's either a cup of life or it's a cup of death. And it's all predetermined in the mind. However I choose that cup to be, that's what the cup's going to be. And I make that decision in my mind before I even reach out and touch that cup. I go to that cup with a purpose. I go to that cup for a purpose. For a time, for a reason. I hope that makes sense. I must decrease, he must increase. Then all in all comes into him. He's fully manifested through Luther, through Wesley, and the Pentecostal age, and on down. He didn't stop at the Pentecostal age, did he? No, that's still in part. It's on out of partial revelation into full realization, full revelation. On down. He's fully manifested. You see, come down. Just the manifestation. God unfolding, see him, notice, fulfilled in his promise for this day as they had. The same promise that they had, he fulfilled what was promised for them. He's doing the same thing today. He has a promise for this day, and he's fulfilling it in this day. He's not a hit or miss. He didn't hit it out of the park in Noah's day, and hit it out of the park in Moses' day, and hit it out of the park in David's day, and Jesus' day, then come down here and not do nothing. Notice, and I'm sorry, I'm moving through different messages here, and I forget to let you know. I was able to get my computer to work. I did some, and so I was able to copy it out. Again, no comments are in there of mine. Not that that's not okay. I'm okay. I'm just saying. If you search that, like the other night, I was having problems with it, copying and pasting. And so just know that if you search that, you'll find it out there. I have notes here. I have notes. I'm not saying it's not. It's absolutely okay to have notes in there. I wasn't trying to say that. It's just. Notice, made alive, and today when the word is manifested in human vessels, veils. It's absolutely the word fulfilled in that day, which comes back to God, being baptized to him according to 1 Corinthians 12, who has been identified in him. Amen. Remember, this is my note here. Remember all that the Father has given me. That's our subject here. It's absolutely the word to be fulfilled in that day, which comes back to God. Thank you. You know death can't even take that away from you. You know that death can't even take that thing away from you. When you're in Christ, in God's place. Look here, Moses had it. He was a prophet that the word of the Lord came to. How many Korahs raised up and said, we need a great organization. Now you try to take the place of being the only man. God said, separate yourself. God said, separate yourself, and I'll swallow him up. And Dathan and so forth didn't bother him. He went right on. God's going to defend his man. God's going to defend his bride. I want to say something, but I don't know how to say it. There's going to come a time when you're going to get challenged. And God and the scripture says, I'll give you the words to speak at that time. And that's where you got to live. You got to live right there in that word. You got to live right there. If you want to know what you got to do when you're faced with this, the word's going to tell you to do that. So that's where you got to live to have your answer. If you're just living out there, when that challenge comes, you're not going to have the answer for that challenge. Whatever that may be, whether it be natural, spiritual, whatever it is. And there's going to be times when the Lord just, he's going to keep you quiet. And you're just going to walk away and shake the dust off your feet. But then there's going to be time when he's going to see if you're really his child. And he's going to see if you're really going to stand for who you are. And it's not going to be easy. It's going to hurt the flesh. It's going to hurt the feelings. But there's something in you that just, it. You can't turn it off. No more than you could stop breathing. That's what happens. Something comes over you, and well, it's not something. It's God comes over you, and he makes that life live. He's proven to you, to this veil of flesh, and to all the whole world what's living inside. You could take a wrapper and wrap it around that cup, but I can set it there, and I can say it's full of something. But until I tell you what it is, or until I express what it is, you don't know. And when Moses died and was buried by the angel, that quickening power stayed on him for 800 years later. Here he is over in the promised land, talking to Jesus. Mount Transfiguration, amen? The quickening power was still on him. That's God's place of worship. What you say, how did you know? He was a prophet. The word came to the prophet, and he was the manifested word of God for his age. And he'll always be that. He'll never not be the manifested word of God for that age. Just like a baby's developing in the womb, it begins to grow. Spine, I don't know what comes first, but we'll say the spine starts coming first, the brain starts developing first. And in the end, there's a whole body. But we started off way down here. But we're coming to a body to be born. And so there's never not a time that that body is going to be complete without the spine, without the brain, without the foot, whatever you want to talk about. That foot has its place, that hand has its place, and will always have its place in the body. And the body will always be complete when the foot's in its place, the hand's in its place. See, you can't die. You're done quickened. See, Brother Kuroki didn't die. This veil of flesh that God was living in, it went to the grave. All veils of flesh, all flesh will go into the grave. It will die. Even if you're standing here at the end and it all explodes and the body change happens, this veil of flesh is going to fall in an instant. And you're just going to instantly step over. You might not physically, go to sleep or die. You're going to die, but you might not know that you're dying, the flesh, for what I'm trying to say. It just happens like that. There's a change. But all flesh is going back to this earth. All of this is going back to the 16 elements of the earth. It's going to be purified. And then whatever he decides to raise back up again, it's still going to be a fleshly body that we're going to. I keep losing my place. See, you can't die. You've done quickened. Oh, if the church could only see that. That's not what you're going to be. You already are. You're done quickened. When the anointing comes upon that seed and changes how your mind thinks, how you dress, how you walk, it changes everything about you. You don't look like the world anymore. You don't think like the world. You don't look like the world. You don't walk like the world. You don't dress like the world. You don't do nothing. There is a distinct difference. And yeah, you could have friends that come to you and say, oh, I remember when you was in the bar. I always remember when you did this. Yeah, I still deal with that. But that wasn't me. That one died. That was never me. Me is who the quickened word of this day is. You is who the quickened word is of this day is. That's who you are. You're not something in the past that they can point to and say, oh, this one, she's done this and he's done this. No, that's not you. I hate that they can see that. I hate that that's where they rest. And that they want to talk about, well, this, this, and this. But then they want to flip the coin and say, but you can't hold them against anything. I'm like, you can't have it two ways. You can't hold the past against this flesh and then tell me I can't look at your past and talk to you about your flesh if this is what you want to deal with. Well, no, that's not me. Well, then that's not me. I've had that conversation. It's not that you're going to be. You already are. It's the devil trying to rob you from that. He don't want you to realize. And you can have 99% of this message, and he's okay. He'll stand right there next to you with 99% of this message. He just doesn't want the fullness manifested in who you are today. Well, you say, now, I'll tell you, I belong to this. I don't care what you belong to. You've got to be born, regenerated, baptized with the Holy Ghost into Jesus Christ, quickened to every word. Your spirit in you will punctuate amen to every word of the Bible. Outside of that, if it shakes its head on one word, if it shakes its head on one, you get rid of that spirit. It's not the Spirit of God that would dispute the Word of God. It'll keep the Word of God. Not only does it believe it, it makes it live. It manifests the Word of God. Yes, sir. Punctuates amen to every word. Quickened to every word. But now, there is only one way to satisfy that and to do it scripturally now. We want to always be in the platform to be exactly with the scripture. If it isn't, you're duty-bound to come tell me and correct me. Now, it wants to be with the scriptures. So the only way to know what he is today is to find out what he was. See, he said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we find out that he was then. He has to be the same today because he can't change. The Bible says He's the same, S-A-M-E, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now in 1 John 1, here is what the writer said, and inspired by the Spirit, he wrote this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was... I didn't know that scripture was right there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. May I break it down? In the beginning was the Eternal. He wasn't even God. God is an object of worship, but He wasn't... nothing there to worship. He was just the Eternal. So before the beginning was the Eternal. So at the start of the beginning, the Eternal was already there. In Him was attributes. Anybody knows what an attribute is? In other words, in Him was His thoughts. Just thoughts, that's His attribute. Then His Word, a thought, is expressed. In the beginning was the Word. Before it was even expressed, it was thoughts, attributes. In His thinking, He was to be God. Probably created the angels first. Then He was worshipped. He was God. Then, in Him was attributes to be the Father, be a Son, be a Savior. Nothing lost. Something had to be lost, so He had to make a way for that. To be a healer, nothing sick, had to have something to be sick so He could heal it. It's only displaying His attributes. And now remember, if you ever did or ever will have eternal life, you had it with Him then. So before the beginning, when He was just the Eternal Spirit, you was right there with Him in His mind. And that's the only way you can... You didn't come over into a certain age and then become eternal because you accepted the message of that age. You are either always eternal or you never will be eternal. And I know you hear that a lot, but that's something that's really got to be settled with you. That's something... that's your identity of who you are. And in a time in the world is just gone crazy with an identity crisis, that's something that's got to be real with you. You either are an eternal thought of God or you're not an eternal thought of God. So if there's a question there on who you are, there's some time to be on your knees. There's time to be to get that question answered. Before you go anywhere else, before you do anything else, that's got to be clear in who you are. You don't have to be so deep in the message till you just blow the minds of the Christians. You've got to know that you're a child of God. Once you get that, God graces you with whatever else of the revelation He gives you. But He's not doing that to someone that's not His child. He's not giving a revelation to who that's not His child. He's come for His children. He's come to manifest His thoughts that He had in His mind for this day. Not for Noah's age, that's done. Not for Moses' age, that's done. Not for Jesus' day, that day's done. Not for the church ages. Those days are done. We've come out of time. We've stepped into eternity. We're not... you say, well, we go by the clock. We start... You're not a creature of time no more. That's just the fact. You're an eternal thought living in a physical veil of flesh that God's moving to and fro around the earth. That's who you are. You didn't become eternal today. You recognized today that you was eternal, but you didn't become eternal today. Now remember, if you ever did or if you ever will have eternal life, you had it with Him then. So you had it with... see, you had it with Him. Because Jesus came and Jesus was the Redeemer To redeem anything back is to bring it back. So if you claim that you're redeemed this morning, that means you were brought back to what you were. From where it had fallen from or where it went from, to redeem it, bring it back. And you, the way you look and who you are and what your name is, that was in God's thinking before the foundation of the world. He knew he had a seed planted in Brother Bosworth this morning. He knew how tall he was going to be, how old he is, and his weight, everything about him. He knew exactly what that veil of flesh was going to look like. Jesus came not to save the whole thing. He wanted to. The scripture said, I wish that none should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. That's, yeah, we want that. But to redeem something back means it had to be there in the first place. Yeah, I wish I could save everybody. Just tap them on their shoulder and just go down the line. Everyone wasn't in the beginning. You say, well, God's seen all. Yeah, he's seen everything. Nothing. God didn't miss nothing. But to know him in a relationship, not just to know like we know one another fleshly, you know, that you're a friend and not that, not talking about that, but he knew all and nothing's missing. And he had a reason for everything and for everybody that's walking the face of earth. He had a reason. And Jesus came not to save the whole thing. He wanted to, but he came to redeem, to bring them back, to bring back them that was in his thoughts from the beginning. That's the reason he was the Word made flesh. See, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. The Word, God's thinking of how he would do it. He expressed himself in Jesus Christ. It was God becoming material. Then we are redeemed. God's attributes right back. God, material, with Christ in the church, just like a man and his wife. That's right. Christ and his bride, because it redeems back his thinking, and his thinking is expressed out. Expressed right out. You once you recognize on who you are, once you find your place, an expression begins to happen. And it's not something you do in yourself, no more than the seed of corn planted. It can't do nothing but manifest who it is. That corn cannot decide to be okra. It can't decide to be squash. It can't decide. It may be raised in the same row with the squash and with everything else. It may look over at the squash and say, well, you just look like the holiest, best thing I've ever seen in my life. And he can't help but be who he is. God with his thoughts, moving to paragraph 80. God with his thought becoming material, then that brings us with eternal life. And eternal life, there's only one form of it, that's God. And then it's God expressed in his church. Like God expressed in his Son, it's the same God all the time. God above us, God with us, God in us. Just brings the whole thing right back. In the beginning was the Word. Now, if we was going to talk about who's going to judge the world, and I put this held this quote in here because I mentioned it Wednesday night. Now, if we was going to talk about who is going to judge the world, why you'd say someone say, "Well, I heard a Catholic person say God's going to judge the world by the Catholic Church." If he does, which Catholic Church? Which Catholic Church is he going to judge it by? So let's bring that home a little bit tighter. We know it's not going to be the Catholic Church. But which message church is he going to change by? We've got hundreds and thousands, if not millions, of message churches around the world. And all of them is preaching a little bit different. There's some that's right down the line with the revelation. God's not given a revelation in Lincoln and not given the same revelation in Kenya, or the same revelation in Australia, or the same revelation in the Philippines, or wherever he's got a body at. He's not given one revelation and given someone else a different one. And yet there's millions and millions and millions, or thousands, I can at least say thousands, of message churches. So which message church is he going to judge it by? Which message church is the standard? It's not Faith Tabernacle. It's not any other tabernacle or church or whatever. The Wednesday night, I left out the quote, but if we claim, you know, they talk about, well, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm this, I'm that. If that's where you're resting is because you're this, if you're resting because I go to Faith Tabernacle, Brother Branham said that's a blasphemous name. If that's where you're resting, if that's where, because I do this, this is where I'm going to be saved. That's not what he said. There's nothing wrong with naming the church, that's okay. But if that's where you're resting, you're not taking the name of the Lord Jesus. And he put his name in the bride, and that's where he's living, in the bride. And part of the bride goes to Faith Tabernacle, part of the bride goes to Revealed Word Tabernacle, part of the bride goes to the Kenya churches. I don't know all the name of the church, but wherever they decide to put a name to identify, that's fine. But he's living in that bride member, that church. That's where he's living. And some might not even have a church to go to. Sometimes there's some today or tomorrow, whatever time, around the world, there's some that don't have a roof to go to. There's some that don't have anybody else but maybe just him and his wife and his children, or just him or just her or whatever. It might just be one person. But he's living in that one person. And he's revealing the same thing to that one person in the jungle as he's revealing to that one person in the city. It's not, they're not fighting one another. They're not going against one another. They're not saying, well, you didn't say it like I said it, so now I'm not going to be with you. That's not how it works. You're going to speak the revelation. You're going to live the revelation just like he's revealed it to you. You can't help that. If you do help that, you're going to mess that up. When you get in the way and say, well, if I manifest it like this, or if I say it just like this, well, it's going to make this person feel good, and it's going to make that group feel good, and it's just, it's got to work. No, it's not going to work. It's not going to accomplish the true manifested word that God has. He came to call a bride out, he came to manifest in a bride, and he came to separate everything else. So what is joy and love and healing and mercy to the bride is death and persecution and separation to everything else. He redeems it back, his thinking, and his thinking is expressed out. God with his thought becoming, I'm backing up here, 81. I heard a Catholic person say, God's going to judge the world by the Catholic Church. So that was what I wanted to get out of that. We'll skip down to 83. God will judge the world not by any certain group. He'll judge the world by Jesus Christ, and Christ is the Word. Christ is the Word. And he said it again. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So he's the expressed Word of God in every age. In every age. The same God that expressed the Word in Noah's age is the same God that's going to express the Word in this age. It makes him the same yesterday, today, and forever. No, the fullness of the Godhead is made known. This secret of the mystery is now revealed, that God is manifested. The secret of the mystery is now revealed. There was a time when they didn't know what the manifestation of God would look like, would sound like, would be. But now that's revealed. That it's God manifested. God and man became one, the anointed man Christ. What does Christ mean? The anointed one. The anointed that was anointed with the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Oh my, how can people doubt it? And Satan say, you know, she turned around and listened to him, and he's talking about in the garden. But Eve in the last day is not going to do that. Is not going to do it. Because she's predestinated not to do it. Yes, sir. God's going to do it. He knows. He'll have it. The church will be there without spot or wrinkle. She's going to stand there in the splendor of Him. So this manifestation, all that He has, all that was in Him at the beginning, all that was in Him in Jesus Christ, all that is in Him today is in His splendor. His word may manifest. She'll be the token to the world. She'll be something to the world that the world can look at and say, the rest of the world say, oh, she's a holy roller. She's a second cousin. She don't belong to our group. I know. She don't belong to our group. I know she don't belong to your group. She don't belong to a group. That's a good thing, see? She belongs to this group. That's a capital G. The other group's a lowercase g. This is a capital G. There's something special about this group. Paragraph 91. God is uniting His bride. She's coming together from the east and the west, the north and the south. There's a united time. That's right on. That's right now. What is she uniting for? The rapture. Amen. God's getting her ready. Yes, sir. Uniting. What is she uniting with? With the Word. For all of heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. She's uniting herself with thus saith the Lord. And she'll have thus saith the Lord, or she won't say nothing. She'll just be quiet. She'll just be still. She'll just wait for Him to manifest Himself in whatever way He chooses to manifest Himself. Regardless of what any denomination or anybody else says, she's uniting herself. She's getting ready. Why? She's the bride. That's right. She's uniting herself with the bridegroom, see? And the bridegroom is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Was made flesh and dwelt among us. All that was in Christ, He poured into the bride. And the church and the bride and the Word is becoming so one until the very Word itself, it works out the work of the bridegroom. The works that you do, that I do, you shall do also. A uniting, not more join a church, not more of this, but flee from everything and tie to Jesus Christ. See, it's the uniting time. God uniting His bride together, bringing it back just exactly the uniting words of His promise. And I know Brother Don has read a lot of these quotes. And I was going through them as I was reading them. I was like, I think Brother Don just read that one. I think Brother Don just read that. So the Lord's good to us. Now, if the children come up under that kind, see, moving on to paragraph 124, power of transformation. Now, if children has come up under that kind, see, under that kind of teaching, that's what their parents was. They have the nature of their parents, their denomination, and so forth. They have to believe that, see. They believe that because they're born under that parent. But today, we're not born under that parent. We're not born under the parent of a denomination. We're not born under the parent of another day. We're not born under an idea of another day. Our parent is the Word. We'll say, I was born under God too, for that age. But this is the climax age. This is the age of going beyond those denominations. And not just those denominations, but even going beyond our mind, beginning to think. The mind is the womb. It comes through the mind. It doesn't just sit here, though. You read it, you hear it, you listen to it, and you receive it. But it doesn't. If it just stays here, that's the problem. If there's a seed, something just pulls it right down into here. If there's not a seed, it just stays right here. And you can make it sound any way you want it to make. I can take this message and just about preach any idea that I want to preach. And make it come right down the line and sound just really good. Until it hits the fullness. It's not going to match up with the fullness. The fullness is 100%. Not the fullness is 99.9%. So it doesn't just stay in the mind. It just is not a carnal understanding. And there's great carnal understanding, if I can say that. There's big, elaborate, very deep carnal understandings of this message. Oh, they can take this message and they can wrap you up. They can quote it. They can do all kinds of things with it. But when they get off the true revelation, and see, that's the whole thing. It's God giving you the revelation. The same quotes that they can take down the line and they can produce their carnal idea of it, when the revelation's applied to that same set of quotes, it pulls you into the revelation that God gives you of them quotes. And something catches you and says, this doesn't sound right. It sounds good, but it don't sound right. You just get that little edge of a feeling that something's off. And I've felt that. I know you felt it too. I'm not saying that, but something just catches you. Something just something holds you. That's exactly how I want to say it. Something holds you. Just holds you right there. There must come forth, God ordained it, there must come forth, them seven seals must be opened. It's supposed to be done in this Laodicean age, I think, and beyond a shadow of a doubt, not as we brag, we have no brag, only Jesus Christ. None of us, we only brag on Jesus Christ, but we are thankful with the privilege of knowing, beyond a shadow of a doubt, God has chosen us in these last days, that has proven it by the signs in the heavens and in the earth and every one of them coming straight back to the Word to prove it so. He's bragging on Jesus. So he's talking about, he's not bragging on, he didn't put this together. God came and revealed, the Lamb came and broke the seals. The mysteries was uncovered. The cloud went up, and I feel really bad for these people that want to make fun of this cloud. They don't know what they're doing. That they can just speak so arrogantly against the cloud. And whether he was here or there or whatever. I tried to listen to some of it, but I get hurt. I start hurting in my heart when I hear those things. And I know sometimes you gotta listen to them to be able to address them and deal with them. I'm not saying that, but and maybe I'll go and listen to them eventually. But just sometimes I just hear this arrogance coming out, and it hurts. It hurts so bad. And I just turn it off and I'm like, how? Even someone with not any understanding could just speak that way about God and about the angels and about the cloud and about the visitation and about the manifestation of God in flesh. And just, and I'm like, I get nervous when I talk about preachers that I know. I'm not that I talk about, but when we're talking about other preachers and say, I get nervous when I talk about that. And I can prove that they're off the message. But we gotta be careful when we gotta follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. If we're right there, then you're fine. Stay right there. You're fine if you're following the leading. And it's gotta be called out. It's gotta be identified. Absolutely. Because a good shepherd is gonna tell you where the bad grass is, or where the bad weeds is and where the good grass is. That's what a true shepherd is going to do to you. They're going to identify when they start to see attention's pulled one way or the other. It is God's called him to identify that and to call that out and to do all that they can do. It's only going to take God to reveal that to you and to fix it. But he's going to identify it. He's going to put up the road sign and say, you're going to fall off a cliff. If you keep going the way you're going, you're going to fall off the cliff. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get, something's going to happen. Because one thing that's not going to happen is God's not going to lose one of his seed. I don't care what path they're on. I don't care where they're at. God's not going to lose one of his seed. He's not going to do it. This is the age that we live in. The message and how it is. We're not a cult. We're not a bunch of fanatics. We are servants of God. That's been called by the Holy Ghost. You'll all have all kinds of name tacked to you, but that don't mean it's so. You are what God says you are. And what God says you are is a spotless virgin bride living in the revelation of today. Not living in a partiality. Not living in what we think the message means from a fleshly standpoint. I dropped this down here. Actually, I'm getting a little bit quicker than I thought I would be. What time is it, brother? What time is it, minister? Do you see the time of the day, the sign that we're living under? Can you understand it? Do you see it? Everybody here, there's no revival. Everybody is complaining. Ministers are crying and reading outstanding papers here to church. And we're going to jump down here. About the middle. You know, you see it all the time. Fast pray, fast pray. They're calling for a revival. They're looking for something to happen. They know that something's going to happen. Something's got to happen. All of you, pray, pray, pray. We're not too late. Why do they do that? And then he asked it again. He didn't ask it just once. He asked it twice. Why do they do that? They want a great awakening. They're crying, believing that there will be a great awakening. They're good people. Great people. Why is that? What have they done? They have not recognized the awakening of the bride. And they talk about it. They want to make fun of it. They want to make fun of the visitation. They want to put all this stuff. They don't know what they're making fun of. They don't know what they're denying. The Lamb came, took the book of redemption, called the names, redeemed them back to where they were. Sinless, spotless bride, manifesting God in this day. She's awake. She's moving. She's breathing. She's walking. In this word. She is this word. In the beginning was the word. And the word was God. And the word was with God. And the word was God. And if you ever was going to be eternal, you was there with him in the beginning. See, being a Christian, they feel the pull of the hour. They haven't recognized what's been done. He's identifying what's been done. She's awake. He's identifying that they're not seeing what has been done. They know something's supposed to happen, but see, they're looking for it. In a way off into the future to come, when it's already happened right by you. That's the same thing they did in the old days. They were believing in the coming Messiah. They believed that there would be a forerunner. But it was right on them, and they didn't know, they didn't recognize it. They believed that there would come a forerunner that would forerun the Messiah, and they cut his head off. They killed the Messiah. Because it was prophesied to do, they would be blinded. 137. Now notice, When this great moving power of God comes into a son of God, it quickens him. The spirit of life enters into him. What does it do? It sets them in heavenly places right now. Not that it will be. We are now. We are already resurrected. The dynamics and the mechanics is gone to work. It's quickened us. We're quickened up into the presence of God. We're quickened up into the presence of God. Well, I can see you. Can I see you? Brother Branham said, you never seen me. You just seen the house I live in. That's why they don't understand the rapture. That's why they don't understand the true quickening power of what's happening in this day. When the fullness can come, all that they were through all the prophets, all the way down, is now the fullness is poured into the bride. And she's quickened. She's elevated. She's revelated into God, sitting in heavenly places right now. That's why the scripture says, know no man after the flesh. Because you don't know the flesh. Don't know yourself by the flesh too. This flesh is going to make mistakes. I'm not saying you're not going to perfect the flesh. You're never going to do that. But there was a time when this flesh wasn't walking according to the revelation, and now is walking to the according to the revelation. So there's caught up out of something. There's the rapture right there. Raptured out of dark sin, lost, not understanding, not revelated, to an elevated position in Christ. Walking around in his veil of flesh. Not it will be, we are now. We've already resurrected. The dynamics and the mechanics is gone to work. Quickened us. We're quickened up into the presence of God where his spirit is. And now we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Sitting there. That great seat that's already fired up. Been raised from the dead. We're a part of it. If you're a part of the bride, I'm reading that wrong. If you're a part of the bride, comma, statement, you are, comma, continuation, because the bride is part of the groom. He was raised up, you're raised up. If you're a part of the bride, you are, because the bride is part of the groom. You know, so we find out that it's the same thing. She'll do exactly what's predicted for her to do in this day. She won't be a Laodicea. Not by no means a lukewarm. But she'll be on fire for God. She'll be moving on in the Spirit of God. If you want to know what you look like, you want to know what you act like, that's what you're going to act like. You're going to be moving in the Spirit of God. Now the compass is the Holy Spirit. Your tie post would be the North Star, so the Holy Spirit will always point towards the Word. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to anything else but the Word of God. So how can a man accept a creed when it's contrary to the Word? Then still say he has the Holy Ghost. He don't have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost would point you away from that. It takes the Holy Spirit to point you to the Word, for He is the Word. He is the Word, and it could only. As the magnet in the compass always sets toward the North Pole, that's the only way it can draw. When the Holy Spirit is the author and the writer and the quickener of the Word, how can it point? How can it point the person to anything else but the Word? I like this quote here. It kind of made me chuckle when I laughed. So when a person says they have the Holy Ghost and accepting something contrary to the Word, it shows it ain't the genuine Holy Ghost they got, see? It may be a ghost. I won't dispute that. But it's not the Holy Ghost of Christ. There's a lot of ghosts walking around. So there's a lot of people, you know, you think you'd be scared of ghosts and stuff like that, but there's a lot of people walking around with spirits on them, very religious spirits, and it's not the Holy Ghost. And there's something, usually when someone's walking around with a ghost or some anointing, they're talking about themselves, they're talking about this, they're talking about that. But the bride is always going to talk about him. That's her whole life. That's her whole identity. Everything's wrapped up in him. That's all she cares about. She don't care what she looks like. She don't care what they think she looks like. She's just worried about manifesting him. It's her whole desire. You know, many times they take on one another's spirits. And so that might point in like a group of men to a certain thing, but it won't point to Christ. But the Holy Spirit always points to Christ, and Christ is the Word. We see it so plainly in the Bible, or I do. Maybe I'm wrong. I might be wrong, and we all know he wasn't wrong in my thinking. But I don't think so, because this: lean not to your own understanding of things. If you lean to your own understanding, then you're bound to get off the right road. You can't lean to anyone else's understanding when it comes to life. I can testify what God's done for me. You can testify what God's done for you, the revelation that he's given you. And that's great. Do so. But I have to take that testimony. I can't live by your testimony, and you can't live by my testimony. We take one another's testimony, and we come right back to the Word, and we start measuring it up to the Word. And then we sit there and we pray, Lord, if we don't have what they have, Lord, give me what they have. And if we take their testimony and measure it up against the Word, and it doesn't seem to work right, then we don't discard them, we don't throw them away. We say, Lord, give them the revelation you've given me. I used to be one of those. Confession time. I used to be one of those. Just write somebody off. I mean, like, that was just, I had that spirit on me. I did. I mean, I was arrogant. I was heady and high-minded. But he's not going to lose a one. And I have to apply that to everyone. He didn't lose me. And I'm so thankful that he didn't. But I have to give that to everyone else. I can't say, well, he's not going to lose me, and then start writing other people off. I have to leave it right there in the hands of God. He's going to work it out. I might go my whole life different with somebody and then come to the end and see it happen. Well, through that whole time, how did I treat that person? What do I got to ask for forgiveness from at the end? You say, well, we'll know them by their testimony. Yes, you will. What was your testimony at the beginning? What's your testimony now? How much grace did God give you? How much grace did God give me? Supersign, paragraph 105. Everybody is wanting a sign. We're supposed to look for a sign. That's right. But religious. Spiritual signs, not a religious sign. The Bible says everybody was going to look for a sign, and they know that this would be a super day. God, seeing the end from the beginning, he said, I'll give them a sign, a super sign. I'll give them an eternal sign, amen. I'll give them one that will never fail and never pass away, amen. They want a sign, so I'm going to give them a super sign. He didn't come to the polish of the world the way they expected him to come. But what did he say? A virgin shall conceive I know he's talking about Christ there, but when I was reading this quote, it made me think of what he's promised in this day, that he'll have a virgin-born bride of this word today. That's been prophesied, that's been spoken, and that's been manifested. I'm not looking for that to happen. That is happening right now, today. A virgin shall conceive, amen. That was a sign. That was a super sign. A virgin shall conceive, amen. A super sign, not a natural sign, but a super sign. A virgin conceiving, see, a supernatural sign. Supernatural. It was a super sign for a virgin. Had never did it before, but she shall conceive. And today he has a bride that's never been before. And she has conceived of this revelation. The problem with the church ages, they failed to receive the furtherance of the revelation, and that's where they died off. Those that accepted that was supposed to come in under that age, they accepted it and was sealed away. Those that could have went on, didn't go on. Why? It wasn't in them to go on. What was it to be? His name shall be called Emmanuel. How will it be? God and man will become one. That's the super sign. Oh God, if the world could see, only see that, that God and man are one. The super sign was the first man that God could come into. All that God has poured into Christ and all that Christ has poured into the church. The super sign. God and man together. There will be your super sign for the last day. The bride, you, this little portion and every other portion around the world is the super sign of today. When the entire Bible was fulfilled in the last, was to be fulfilled in the last days, a virgin shall conceive. And this conception, when it's brought forth, will be God manifested in flesh, a super sign. They still don't believe it. But it was anyhow. It's still the super sign. They don't believe it. They say, oh no, they can do this, and they've done this, and she's done this, and he's done this. They don't believe it. But you're the super sign. Paragraph 112. Notice the eternal sign, an unfailing sign. It will never fail. The Word and man become one. When God's Word and man become one, in St. John, the first chapter, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's the super sign. All that He was, He's poured into you. All that you are is who He is. Oh, if that was the super sign of that day, when the same Spirit that was on Jesus Christ come into His church to manifest the written word for today, it's still the super sign. The church can have a sign of a council and all of them getting together for fake world peace and all they want to. The Baptists say a million more in 44. The Methodists make all kind of brags that they want oneness or Trinitarians or whatever it may be. But this super sign is still God ever remains true to that super sign. It's God in man manifesting His Word. His Word. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, He'll reveal these things, show them to you, and show you things to come. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Exactly. And this is the last quote, when we're going to read 457. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. As the days of Lot, when the modern Billy Graham and Oral Roberts went down into Sodom and preached to the Sodomites, blinded their eyes with the gospel, one angel stayed back, a messenger with Abraham. And Brother Don's been preaching on this. And the electric group, what kind of sign did he do? What did Abraham call him? Elohim, God manifesting in flesh. Jesus showing that he himself, God in him, will be manifested in his bride in these last days. Oh my. Just no end to it. Just a revelation of God. It's eternal. Just keep moving on and on and on. Just keep moving in it. Just keep surrendering to Him. Keep on your knees, keeping this revelation. Keep praying, Lord, give me more, give me more. And I let you out a little bit early. I didn't know how this morning was going to go. I trust that you got something. He's good to us. So let's all stand. Brother Bosworth, if you want to come around and sing a song and dismiss us. We appreciate everyone. Continue to remember Brother Karoke's family in your prayers. Remember Brother Goomba. Sending a lot of good-looking pictures, good videos, and so excited. Never know, one day him and Brother Don will get over there and they'll just go all over Pakistan or wherever they want to go, wherever the Lord leads them. So, Lord bless you.
Bless the Lord. Amen. I hope your hearts are blessed. And we're going to sing Honored Christian Soldier. Brother, we are not mourning. Christians don't mourn. Amen. We celebrate the life of a soldier. And, Christian soldier.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, once again we come before you, humbling ourselves, Lord Father, humble and contrite, Lord Father. We've seen your hand, Lord Father, throughout this service, Lord Father. You've blessed our hearts, Lord Father, and that which was in our minds, Lord Father, you quickened it, Lord Father. You brought it to our hearts, Lord Father, and our hearts are filled, Lord Father, and we know those who joined online, Lord Father, also with the purpose that they are joined in, Lord Father, you've met the needs of their hearts, Lord Father. The week ahead of us, Lord Father, we pray that you may bless it, Lord Father. Give us, Lord Father, your word each and every day, Lord Father, in whatever we do, in the singing, Lord Father, in our daily activities, Lord Father, when we walk, when we preach, Lord Father. May we be a living testimony, Lord Father, to this world, Lord Father. Be with each and every one of us, Lord Father, the brothers and sisters, Lord Father, who are with the family, Lord Father, back in Kenya, of Brother Joseph Koroki, Lord Father. May you be with them, Lord Father, in these sorrowful times, Lord Father. Bless their hearts, Lord Father. Each and every one of us, Lord Father, I might not be able, Lord Father, to remember. We know, Lord Father, our hearts are with us. Be with us, in Jesus' name, we pray and believe. Amen.
Yeah.
You're dismissed. Have a good week.